Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We are indeed blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and we're going to be using a supplication like we usually do. And it's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. It's the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be together. God has really awakened us in more ways than one. I saw Mother. Let me just bring Mother in. And I know we're going to have the San Marino sisters as well joining us shortly. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. I think your microphone may be off, Mother. Did Mother just pick up the plug not plugged in? Nothing yet, Mother. And I can assure you, everyone does not want to listen to me for an hour and a half. I can guarantee that. Okay, we're just waiting for Mother and the sisters to connect, and maybe I'll just I'll ramble a bit until we wait. I don't hear anything yet, Mother. No. Sister Gloria, maybe the microphone icon in the bottom left-hand corner, make sure that the microphone is switched to the right one. Oh, unmute you. I did unmute you. I thought, oh. Okay, hold on. I have to remove the pin. Let's go back to this. We'll start it over again. Okay, try it now, please.
Hello? There you go.
All right.
Can you hear us? Okay.
That might have been me. Being too quick on the trigger here. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it's still not as clear as it usually is.
So she's got a different thing hook up here. She's got to fix it. Wait.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably using the internal microphone and not the microphone in your hand, which is a good one. Not yet, Mother. Well, if you had any doubt this was live, this is your proof. Oh, is it John? I can't hear you now. No. And you're definitely not muted. So let me
I keep saying hello.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, let me hear a few words, please.
Is it better?
It's we can hear you. It's not as crisp as it usually is. It's probably still not the microphone being used.
No, that's speaker. We don't need speaker because that's
yeah, you don't want to hear me.
Try it.
Yeah, usually the microphone defaults to
hello.
The
hello.
Yeah, I can hear you, Mother. I guess it's okay. You know. Well, now I can't hear you. No, we lost you now. Is the Sister Gloria? Is the microphone selected to the one Mother has in her hand? You're muted again? Okay, hold on. Oh, no. Okay, let's see. Good things come to people who wait, right? Okay. Mm, try it now, please. Yeah, you're definitely unmuted, but I can't hear your mother. So maybe we'll have to go back to what didn't sound great, but it sounded okay.
Talk something, mother.
Hello, Peter?
Yeah, yeah, I think we'll be able to deal with that. Now we lost you totally again. Yeah, I can't hear anything. You know, mother, it almost seems as if the computer keeps defaulting to the to another microphone that's perhaps not existent. I can't hear anything. I don't think anyone can.
If we use the mic, can you hear now? Okay.
Now I can hear you, yes.
Is it clear like usually or no?
It's not as good, but it's audible enough.
Can't hear you, Peter.
You can't hear me?
Now I can, yes. Now
okay. Yeah, it's not as good as it usually is, but it's better than being silent.
The San Benito sisters tonight, if they're clear.
Try it.
Okay. Okay, I mean, it's okay. I mean, we can go through. I mean, you're audible, mother. I just always want you to sound as great as you can, and you usually do. But we can work on that. You know, mother, there's so many things. You know, we take this opportunity, the journey. We're so blessed because, you know, being able to listen to the perspectives of all the sisters. You know, again, Jesus tells us we all see this gift slightly differently. Again, we're not talking right or wrong. We're talking slightly differently through a different lens, so to speak, because we all do have unique perspectives, unique irises, and we've all had different dispositions. You know, what I've experienced, you know, is not what you've experienced and vice versa. So it's always a joy to do that. You know, one thing that came to mind was just thinking is that, you know, God's permissible will. We've talked about this before. And can you hear me, mother?
Yeah, can hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, and now the microphone's perfect.
So you must have touched something back there, maybe.
Yeah, well, great. Remember what you touched, Sister Gloria, but don't touch it again. Mother, you know, one thing that we've talked about before is, you know, God's mysterious permissible will and how everything is fiat. And that was difficult for me in the beginning. How can everything be fiat? But we never know, you know, and one passage that just shouted out to me was I'd like to just maybe lead off with that theme, so to speak, is from volume 14, 11, 24, 22. And this is a perspective that I don't think we've ever heard before in our faith. It's regarding Jesus's silence to Herod. You know, why was he silent? Why didn't he say, I'm Lord, I'm God? So here it goes. Quote, I was thinking of when my sweet Jesus was presented to Herod. And I said to myself, this is Louisa speaking, how is it possible that Jesus, who is so good, did not deign to say a word to him or to give him a glance? Who knows whether that perfidious heart would have converted at the power of his gaze? And Jesus, making himself seen, told me, my daughter, his perversity and the lack of interior disposition were such that he did not deserve that I look at him or say a word to him. And if I had done it, he would have rendered himself more guilty because each word or gaze of mine are additional bonds that are formed between me and the creature. End quote. So in essence, Jesus' silence was preserving, was safeguarding, was helping Herod not fall deeper into that pit. So again, what seemed to be negative was an extreme positive for Herod. And for all souls, for that matter. And I put that in the same context as when Jesus, I think it's in volume 12, explains to us about when we notice that the churches are closing. He says, know that I am the one closing those churches because our blessed sacrament has become now a tool of the creature's damnation more than his or her salvation. So again, a greater good. God's giving up holy things. He's giving us an example of that. And he did it with Herod. That was astonishing to me. So again, we have to remember that everything that we view and the way we view it may not be exactly the way God sees it and what God is intending. Maybe that's I think that's a theme for every day when we journey in the divine will. Mother? Hello, we lost you again, Mother. Sister Gloria, did you touch that thing? We lost you again, Mother. All right, let me see if you're if you happen to get muted again somehow. No, you're unmuted. I think it's just your computer just playing games. I still can't hear anything. It was really good there for a moment. But maybe that's my sign that I should have been quiet. No, I can't hear you. See, if I didn't have that diatribe, I could have just let off with you.
Try 5G.
Okay, here we are. Okay, we're back again.
Can you hear me now?
I think it's the internet.
Yeah, image. Yeah, we're back.
You're back. All right. Hopefully it stays. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Mother, to you and the sisters, enough of me.
Okay. It's okay. A speaker. It's a microphone.
Okay, anyway, I was just reading from volume 21. This was March 19th, 1927. This is my daughter, one who has been given a mission and has only just started it completed the carrying out of the mission.
Sure the wire is on
and in the middle of it, I take him to heaven with me, will continue his mission from up there because he will carry in the depth of his soul the deposit of the good of the knowledges that he has acquired in life. And in heaven, he will comprehend them with more clarity. And in comprehending the great good of these knowledges about the supreme fiat, he will pray. And will make all heaven praise that they be known upon earth and will infiltrate more clear light for those who will have to occupy themselves with them. So Louisa has continued her mission in heaven. I think we just really need to pray for her. Saying need to be the friendship, those who have not completed their mission totally here. It goes on to say more so, since each knowledge about my will bring him one more glory, a greater happiness, and as they become known upon earth, his glory and happiness will be redoubled, because this will be the fulfillment of his mission, the carrying out of which he had in his will, and it is right that he receive the fruit of his mission as it is carried out on earth. This is why I would tell you to hurry. And I urged him so much, he's talking about Saint Nibelade Franchi, he urged him to have the volumes published, to have them out there. This is why I would tell him to hurry. And I urged him so much not to lose time, because I wanted him not only to start, but to advance a great deal in the publication of the knowledges about the eternal fiat, so that he would not do everything from heaven. On the other hand, one who has completed his mission on earth can say, my mission is finished. But one who has not completed it must continue it from heaven. As for you, then your mission is extremely long, nor will you be able to complete it on earth until all the knowledges are known and the kingdom of the divine will is established upon earth. Your mission can never be called finished. In heaven, you will have much to do. My will that has kept you occupied on earth for its kingdom will not let you be without working together with it in heaven. It will keep you always in its company. So you will do nothing but descend and ascend from heaven to earth in order to help and to establish my kingdom with decorum, honor, and glory. So I think this means, you know, we need to really pray for Louisa. She's continuing her mission. She's coming down to earth, back to heaven. She's probably taking our acts and rounds, bringing them up there to heaven. But we need to realize she is like a mother to us. We have many mothers. Our Lady, Louisa's one. Mother in divine will, in a sense, but she, she continues her work on earth, bringing all of these graces back to heaven, all of these gifts that were given to God in his divine will, as he gives to us and will return it to him. It says, and this will be for you a great delight, happiness, and highest glory to see your littleness that united with my will has transported heaven unto earth and the earth unto heaven. Greater contentment you could not receive, more so since you will see the glory of your creator completed on the part of creatures, the order reestablished, the whole creation with its full splendor, and man, our dear jewel, in his place of honor. What will be our highest contentment, highest glory and happiness without end, as well as yours, in seeing the purpose of creation fulfilled? To you, then, we will give the name of Redemptrix of our will, constituting you mother of all the children of our fiat. Aren't you happy? So realize that, you know, everything that our Lord gave Luis, everything he told her, wasn't just for her. It's for us. Why would he give this gift is not just for Luis. It's for each one of us. Whenever you read what he's telling Luisa, you can put yourself in that place, knowing he's telling you the same thing that he told Luisa about his love for her. It's his love for you. But apply everything to yourself, because he's talking to all of his children. He wants us all to live totally in his divine will. And since Luisa continues her mission in heaven, we can pray to her, ask her intercession to help us to learn to live totally in his divine will. And I think, you know, she will respond very well. God wants us to live in the divine will more than we want to live in it. So, you know, ask and you shall receive. Continue to ask, and don't ever get tired of asking. Our Lord wants us to ask. He wants us to seek all of these beautiful gifts that he wants to give us. Read the knowledges of the divine will so you can really apply it better in your life. Goes on to say, my daughter, you offend me by thinking that I no longer love you as before. On the contrary, this is nothing other than the order of my infinite wisdom. You must know that my inseparable mama also, during her tender age, was more in heaven than on earth. Luis was always complaining because God would come, she would see him, and then he was gone. And she said, you know, you don't love me anymore. But he goes on to explain that, no, he was within her. He was closer to her. She was living totally in his divine will. And he says, you must know that my inseparable mama also during her tender age was more in heaven than on earth, because she was to draw from us the seas of grace, of love, of light, in order to form her heaven within herself, in which the eternal word was to be conceived and have his dwelling. Then when this heaven was formed in the sovereign queen, it was no longer necessary for her to come often to the celestial fatherland, because she had within herself what was there in heaven. Now, Our Lady was conceived without original sin. So you don't read anywhere where she was complaining that she was no longer going back and forth to heaven. But Luisa would complain because she was made of our stock. She was born with original sin, conceived in sin. So, and our Lord, one time when she asked, why didn't you give these beautiful teachings to Our Lady, since she was conceived without sin? He says, because no one could feel they could follow my mother, because she was different than everyone else. But you're like everyone else, conceived in sin, born with original sin. So, but that's why Luisa would do complaining that Our Lady never would, I guess. But her complaining was more so that we can understand, sometimes we feel like complaining too. You may complain to our Lord sometimes, you know, and I guess he wants us to be honest with him, to tell him what's really in our hearts. He seems to like that. He loved Luisa for it. You know, I was with Mother Angelica many years, and she would complain to him too, and he would answer her prayers and give the money that she needed to continue the work that he had called her to do. So he goes on to say, so I have done for you. What was necessary before is not necessary today. And besides, what is greater? To possess me in the depth of your soul, under the beautiful heaven of my will formed in you, or to visit the celestial fatherland often? I believe it is great to possess it. And that applies to each one of us. We can possess it within our hearts and souls. We don't have to be in heaven yet. And actually, it's a great gift that we can stay on earth longer to do acts and round the divine will, to try to grow and live in the divine will. Once you leave this earth, you can't do that anymore. You can't really grow in the graces of living in the divine will. Therefore, everything I have done in you earlier for many years was nothing other than forming my heaven in you. Once it has been formed, it is right that I enjoy it. And you too must enjoy that your Jesus has his own heaven in your soul. And that's what we long for. We want to have Jesus as have his own heaven in our souls. As we live totally in divine will, he lives in our souls. He just wants us have that deep awareness of his presence. Talk to him there. Be present to him always within yourself. And then you're going to be present to him within everybody else around you. First, you have to see him within yourself before you can see him in everyone else. So, you know, I encourage you just to seek to do more and acts and round in divine will. I'm always preaching about that, but it's so important to live. We must do acts and rounds in divine will. When you get in the habit of doing it, it's easy. The more you do it, the more it becomes a habit. And the more it becomes a habit, it becomes second nature to you. And you find it very easy to be remembering throughout the day to call him into everything you do, to be putting your I love yous and everything that you see around you, to be grateful for all of his gifts.
Amen. Yeah, and that second nature becomes our nature, and then of course it becomes us, which is great. Yeah, Mother, you were mentioning citing a few other mothers. You humbly left out yourself, Mother Gabriel, so we'll add you to that. Yeah, that privation is really so important. Because Jesus explains, again, I don't have the volume in front of me, but he explains during that privation, or let's say in our particular case, it may be privation or maybe a spiritual dryness. He told Louisa that that's the opportunity. Again, God wants us to be in heaven immediately. He doesn't want us to go to purgatory. So what he says is, I'm giving you this opportunity to do your acts and rounds, even when you don't feel like doing your acts and rounds, when you feel that spiritual dryness or when she had that privation, because he says, when you do it, I'm going to redouble you. I'm going to redouble the love you're giving to me. In essence, I'm going to give you double credit so that he can accelerate that process so that hopefully we can fill all those personal voids that we have in our lives on earth and not in purgatory. That's how we bypass purgatory, if we can live it completely. And again, we have to give him that opportunity. We have to move God to give us this gift to a greater detail, to a greater depth. Great. Thank you, Mother, for that. Well, Sister, we lost it again, Sister Gemma.
Okay.
I don't know why that's going. Okay, we're back now, I think.
Hear us now?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. I want to add something about the rounds that I stated, I think last time. I don't know if it was Radio Maria or last Sunday, but I was reading that when we also do rounds in Divine Will, that our relationship with God, that it's deepened because it's like you know him better, like the rounds help you to know God better, because you do rounds of all, like for example, of all the creation, and you put your I love you on all the things that he created for you. So on the flowers, on the sky, the everything. And then you realize how much love there is in all these little things that are not little. And it's all these are being created for all of us, for each one of us. So, and then, I was reading that the relationship with God, today I'd like to read volume 30th, December 21st, 1931. My abandonment in the divine fiat continues. Its power imposed itself upon me and wants me to recognize it in each act of mine as life of my act, to be able to extend with its power the new heavens of beauty of love, to be able to recognize in my act its own act, and does not know how to do small things. My daughter, to recognize what my will can do in the act of the creature forms the divine act in her. And then later, so when I was reading this part, Louisa was praying Jesus to see to that she can recognize all this act that she does, and then Jesus tell her that at the moment when we recognize that our acts are not our acts, then our acts automatically become divine acts. Otherwise, they're just normal human acts, because Jesus cannot work if we don't become nothing. So at the moment, I mean, I can do acts all day long. I can do beautiful things and I can say, oh yeah, I did it. Then Jesus doesn't have anything to, like, he cannot really enter in my life, because I say that I did everything with my strength and everything with my power. But it's actually not. In the moment when I realized that all the big things that could be even small things that I did, that Jesus really did all that acts in me, then it's there at that moment when the acts become divine acts. And so we need to realize it. We need to recognize and to ask for the grace that every time we do something big or small, or, you know, if we sing well on the fire and everyone say, oh, you have a beautiful voice, you sang very well. Well, that's it because God did it in me. And then it becomes a divine act. Sometimes it's not like instant that you realize it, but maybe if someone tells you, maybe you can reflect and say, okay, then that was God who did it, that in me. And then later it says, see, my daughter, my ardor of love is so great that I want everything I have done for love of creatures to be recognized, but this for nothing else than to give. I feel a restlessness for giving. I want to form the depositories of my life, of my works, of my pains, of my tears, of everything. But these do not depart from me if they are not recognized. So yeah, we are this place where Jesus wants to put everything that he is, everything that he did for us in us. But we have to ask for it. We need to recognize it. Otherwise, Jesus won't come. Jesus wants, he's a gentleman. He wants intrude that our life. So we need to become nothing. We really have to pray for the grace of littleness, of be able to recognize the life of God in our life, on the these things that he does in us. And then later in this paragraph it says, this was my purpose for coming upon earth, to remain like a little brother in their midst and inside of them as a helper in their needs. As they recognize me, I do nothing other than reflect myself in them in order to seal the good that they have known. So yeah, I found that this very, very sweet and very nice, because Jesus, he'd say that he came here to be our little brother, to be among us, to help us. And I mean, he's not a little brother, he's a big brother. We need to really take this opportunity, because Jesus with all the saints and the Virgin Mary is there here for us, to help us to grow in holiness, to grow in love for Jesus, to grow in living in a divine will. So we need, we can't lose this opportunity to leave Jesus out of our life, but we really need to ask him for help, since he's here for this reason, to help us to know him better.
Yeah, no, you're right, Sister. You know, and asking is one of those requisites that Jesus gives us. He says four things. Number one, we must be in the state of grace. Number two, we must form an ardent desire for this gift. We must have an upright intention. We must want this for others, not just for ourselves, you know, charity. And four, we need to ask. He really wants us to ask for this. Another thing too, really quickly, you know, we're experiencing a mystery and a miracle, I think, at every moment. Mother reminds us that there's no such thing as a small act. There's no such thing as a small sacrifice. Everything is added up. And it's just so beautiful because we don't see it. Many times we don't see grace. But knowing that everything that God is placing in our midst, in our lives, in our wills, is his. Perfect example, and this is something great to reflect on, thinking about the people of the Old Testament. Sometimes they're actually neglected. You know, we always talk about the New Testament, most people, and they don't talk about the Old Testament. But in volume 15, April 14th, 1923, this is astonishing. Just a small excerpt, if I may, quick. Quote, since the work of redemption was to be so great as to overwhelm all generations, I wanted for many centuries the prayers, the yearnings, the tears, the penances of so many patriarchs and prophets and of the whole people of the Old Testament. And I did this in order to dispose them to receive a good so great and to move me. Remember, we talked about moving God. So they were given the grace to be who they were, to move God, to centralize in this celestial creature, Mary, all the goods that everyone was to enjoy. End quote. So it was from the prayer and for the experiences and for just living in the Old Testament through the grace that God was giving all the peoples and utilizing it, and even the small things, mostly the small things that enabled, moved God to bring the Blessed Mother, to bring Jesus, to bring redemption, and hence we're here in sanctification. Did they see it? Did they know what they were doing at the time? Probably not. Same thing with us right now. We don't know. We can't see. And that's okay. Axe and rounds, right, Mother?
That's right. Yeah, so Peter, yes, as you were saying, it's like the creation, redemption, and sanctification are so intertwined together. And I mean, people from the Old Testament, they were praying for the Messiah, the first coming of Jesus, and we are like praying for the 1.5 coming of Jesus. Like
it's here. We're living it.
That's right. And yeah, the mother was saying at the beginning how the work that is not fulfilled here on earth will be fulfilled in heaven, and how Luisa was the redemptrix of the divine will. And also Saint Faustina, Jesus told her, she has the title of secretary of his divine mercy. So I have here the passage very connected with it from volume 29. June 8, 1931. So Jesus says to Luisa, "Good daughter, the great good of living of a divine volition is amazing and almost incomprehensible for the human creature. You must know that everything good, holy, that is done in my divine will is nothing other than seeds that germinate in the field of the soul, placing as though many seeds of divine life that set a beginning that will have no end. In fact, everything that is done in my divine will is sown, germinates, grows in an admirable way on earth while one is living. But the completion will be formed in heaven. The final development, the variety of the beauties, the shades, the most beautiful and striking tints will be given to her in the celestial fatherland. So each act done on earth will be like taking more room in heaven, one additional rite, and an advanced possession of the celestial dwelling. For each additional act that she has done, the creature will bring with herself new beatitudes, new joys, communicated to her by my will. My divine fiat never says enough to the creature. It wants to make her grow in sanctity, in grace, in beauty, unto her last breath of life down here. And therefore it reserves for itself to give the final brushstroke and completion as its full triumph in the celestial regions. Therefore, in my will, there are no stops, and the circumstances of life, now of pains, now of humiliations, and now of glory, form the runs in order to always run in it, to give it free field, to let it sow new divine seeds in the creature, that the divine fiat will take charge of cultivating and making grow in an admirable way, and of giving them completion in the celestial glory. Therefore, in heaven nothing begins, but everything begins on earth, and heaven completes." I think this is a beautiful passage, and also, I mean, it's how Luisa, you know, she saw all this her acts as the sons, as many sons. I mean, even if now we don't see like something miraculous, like doing acts and rounds, kind of like a usual, it seems like nothing unusual, like a normal thing, but how much amazing will it look in heaven, because everything here on earth is so much veiled. And then also there is this another passage, also from volume 29, July 2nd, 1931. So how the divine will has the virtue of converting the good that the creature does into her nature. So it says, "You must know," Jesus says to Luisa, "that everything that the creature does in my will has the virtue of converting that good that she does into her nature. And true good in nature is never lost. nor are there strains in repeating it as many times as one wants. Do you perhaps strain yourself in order to breathe, to palpitate? Because it is in your nature. Even more, if you do not want to do it, you must emit a strain, but a strain that perhaps, if you can get yourself to do it, will cost you your life. And this is the greatest prodigy of my will, to convert the prayer, the love, the sanctity, its knowledges into one's nature. And when I see that the creature has given herself at the mercy of my will, but so much that my will was able to change the divine goods into her nature, my words resound in the soul with my creative power and give them eternity as her nature. So this passage actually reminded me a lot of what it says in this book, That Which Awaits Us. I mean, also in the book of Revelation, that God will show us each of us the name, like the new name, which he has thought for us, from the beginning that he created us. And the name will be so much connected with the mission, as Mother said for Louisa, the redemptrix of the divine will. And if we heard that name now, we would die of joy, because it's how God called us to existence. And it just reminded me of this passage, you know, how really our acts and rounds, what we are doing in the divine will, like really how it says, converting that good into our nature. Like, and it's actually not even the second nature, but the first nature, I would say. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sister. Yeah, and to dispose them, think about, again, we just talked about, Jesus talked about the Old Testament folks, the souls, moving God, using the grace given to them, moving God to centralize and bring about the fruition of the Blessed Mother. I mean, it's incredible. You also mentioned about Sister Faustina being the secretary of the divine will. Sometimes the word secretary, you know, doesn't have the proper meaning, because secretary is not anything trivial by any means. In the corporate world, the secretary of the CEO knows as much as the CEO and much more than the managers do. But also we have, so Sister Faustina was secretary of the divine will. We have Louisa, that was given the title secretary of the divine, I'm sorry, Sister Faustina, secretary of the divine mercy. Louisa, secretary of the divine will. And let's not forget, for those of you joining us for the first time, Mother Gabriel Marie was the secretary for 33 years or so to Mother Angelica of EWTN. So the secretary, she probably knows Mother Angelica better than anyone does. So again, this fits right in. God has a wonderful sense of humor.
We are so proud.
Hello, sister. ¿Cómo está Canapo?
Okay, Lampo, salamat. Okay. And we are so grateful for actually to be under the instruction of Mother Gabriel Marie. I mean, we are so grateful for that from Jesus. You know, I was listening to all of these sharing, you know, I get so overwhelmed, and you keep mentioning about moving God. And the one word that really moves God is love. And he loves us so much that he gives us so many ways of coming to him, you know, through the sacraments, through little movements, you know, writings of the saints, teachings of the church. And as I summarized in all of this, as I was thinking to all of these, actually, you mentioned about the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all these readings. It's just like, you know, I read those, I've studied those, and I got so excited when I learned more about the faith, about the Catholic faith, the story of our life in Christ. But the divine will is really the ultimate. It's how I describe it. And I know it's very, very poor description of this. But with my knowledge of the Bible and the teachings of the church and everything, as great as they are, compared now to the divine will, it's almost kind of like you're looking at the menu and you get so excited with the flavors and all this food listed on the menu, reading this. But living in a divine will is like enjoying the meal. You know, you go to Mass, it's like enjoying this meal. You understood the value of the Mass. But living in a divine will, you're not only enjoying while you're at the table, enjoying the meal with your family, but everywhere you go to bed, you walk, you go to work, every part of our lives, when we live in the divine will, that is so exciting. We're enjoying everything because now this is grounded on love. Love, not just the human love, but God's love in us. So that's how I imagine, and I just get so excited about it. And I just would like to share a small portion of my reading here talking about how easy it is to really live in the divine will. It can be hard, and the hardness comes from our human will, our stubbornness. But really, if you let go of that, it's really very simple. And one part of it is the purity of intention.
Sister, may I just interrupt you for a moment, because I don't want to lose this point. That was a great analogy you gave about, you know, the menu and actually having the meal. You know, the divine will is the meal. But think about the menu. The menu actually starts what's so important, the digestive process, because the eyes see what you're going to buy, what you're going to consume. And, you know, you start to get excited about it and you start salivating. This is all beginning the process. So again, for 6,000 years, we've been beginning the process for this greatest meal of all meals. And then hence, here comes the entree. Diba?
Yes, extra. And before I even learn about the divine will, just going to mass, you know, understanding the importance of mass and all that we do as Catholics. I mean, I kind of feel sorry for the other, you know, denominations that they don't have everything. And I was really so excited. But I only seem to get excited when I go to mass, you know, certain way I'm at Adoration Chapel, but it's not really, I don't really feel, because I didn't understand when I go to work, I love God there, but I didn't really understand what it meant to live in a divine will. After reading the divine will, now I can go to sleep, rest, whatever I did, I can enjoy my life just as much as I enjoy the meal. I don't have to go to mass to really feel so happy and so peaceful and so joyful. I don't have to do that at all. I can be doing that even being hidden somewhere else, you know? And so that I just really, that is just profound. And even in these intentions of purity, okay, I'll just read a small portion here. This was Louisa telling Jesus. She said, in the middle part of this, the whole reading, I just read my highlighted part here. Louisa said, "My most sweet love, I offer you these movements of my body that you yourself made me do, as well as all the others which I myself can do for the sole purpose of pleasing you and glorifying you. Ah, yes, I wish that the movements of my eyelids, of my eyes, of my lips, and of all of myself were also made for the sole purpose of pleasing you alone. Let it be, O good Jesus, that all my bones and my nerves may resound among themselves and with clear voices may prove my love to you." And he said to me, "Everything that is done for the sole purpose of pleasing me shines before me in such a way as to draw my divine gazes. And I like it so much that those actions be, they even a batting of eyelashes, I give the value as if they were done by me. On the other hand, those other actions, good in themselves and even great, but which are not done for me alone, are like gold that is muddy and full of rust, which does not shine, and I do not so much as look at them. And I, ah, Lord, how easy it is for our actions to be dirted with dust." And he said, Jesus says, "One should not care about dust because it can be shaken off. But what one must care about is the intention." And I would like to imagine the dust, perhaps, of my actions are those attachments. You know, I would like to do this for Jesus. But sometimes, you know, there's hidden agenda within myself that creeps up. And so these are like little dust. I do not intend to do this, but it comes up. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. It's the intention. So how easy that is, you know? I mean, we don't really have to beat ourselves so hard. You know, we are so weak, but blessed, but he knows that, so he can accept that. And even Blessed Mother said, I mean, there was another volume 3, November 21, 1899, just a short passage here, I'll add to that one, because Jesus told Louisa that, you know, "I want to reflect myself in you." And Louisa was scared. She said, "Oh, no, don't look at me. You will be disappointed." You know, this was in November 21, 1899. And so she was really terrified. And geez, and then Blessed Mother showed up. And guess what Blessed Mother said to Louisa when Louisa was really afraid about Jesus staring at her? And Jesus says, "Daughter, do not fear. I myself want to make up for you by clothing you with my innocence, so that in reflecting himself in you, my son may find the greatest delight that can be found in a human creature." I do not have an excuse, Peter. I'm sorry, but I don't have an excuse at all. You know, I mean, I know my weaknesses. I have a lot of faults, but I know I can always go to Blessed Mother. And I know I can always go to Jesus and say, "Lord, I don't really intend that, but you know, here I am."
Well, I think it's those faults that we don't recognize in ourselves that are the dangerous ones, because we just keep going without knowing. You know, you mentioned about mud. I just can't help, but before we take a quick break, Jesus in volume 15, March 27th, 1923, he says, quote, however, in order to anticipate souls, remember, grace anticipates the souls. So we have nothing to be worried about. So in order to anticipate souls with these gifts, it takes a little emptying of ourselves, of themselves, hate of sin and desire to receive me. These gifts do not descend into rot or into mud, end quote. So, again, we have to be prepared. We have to be cleansed. And, again, I believe that, you know, God is calling us to be the new wineskin because this is everything. He's given it to us already. It's incredible. You're listening to the School of Mary at Mary's Hill with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. This is the end of part one. We'll be right back. Thank you.